Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
And if you turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 33 tonight. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Here we go. The Lord said to Moses, "Get going. You and the people you brought from the land of Egypt, go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them I will give you this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites, the Midianites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Hittites, and the Jebusites. Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey. But I will not travel among you, for you are stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way." When the people heard these stern words, they went in mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. The Lord had told Moses, "Tell them you are stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you, even for a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and your fine clothes while I decide what to do with you." So from that time forward, the Israelites no longer wore their jewelry and their fine clothing. Jump with me to verse 12. It says, "One day Moses said to the Lord, 'You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your way so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people.' The Lord replied, 'I will personally go with you, Moses. I will give you rest, and everything will be fine for you.' Then Moses said, 'If you do not personally go with us, don't make us leave this place.'" Amen. Well, at this time, me and Pastor Eric have worked out this presentation before service. And what that means is that me and Pastor Eric have bought this box. Are you ready back there? We bought this box. And what this box is going to do is the box is going to kill all the Wi-Fi in the church. Ready? Get it. No, I'm just joking. Some of y'all looking at your phone. Some of y'all looking at your phone like, wait. I need my Wi-Fi. Did you know that there was a study done by the Cisco Technology Network Company there in California? There was a professor there, a young professor, and he did a study. He did a study on what it was to have a normal life. What was a normal life to everybody? What was it to survive? And out of his study, collecting global information and doing a bunch of surveys there in the San Jose area, he came out with this study. And there was three things that topped the chart for you and I to survive on a normal day life. Number one, air. Of course, we need air to breathe, right? Oxygen, right? We need air to breathe. Number two, water. But number three was the internet. Number three was the internet. Not food, not a car, not another human being, but it was the internet. In the last 10 years, the usage of internet has skyrocketed tremendously. There's a status that says that 89% of North America use the internet on a daily basis. The study has shown that 7 out of 10 people use the internet or some type of Wi-Fi every single day. And they believe that when my generation is 60, that it will be at an all-time, maybe 9 or 100% that everybody will be using the internet. The other day I was watching this movie, and I was watching this movie on a Fire Stick. You know what Amazon Fire Stick is? So I was watching this movie on an Amazon Fire Stick. It's this little USB stick that you stick into your TV, and it runs the Wi-Fi. So I'm watching this movie, and everything is going good, and all of a sudden, it's getting ready to this one part. They're the car accident. There's a car accident happens, and there's blood everywhere. People are screaming and jumping out. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's about to do something crazy. And all of a sudden, it just pauses. And it starts buffering, and it starts spinning, and it starts spinning, and it says 85%, 88%, 89%. I'm waiting like, come on, what's happening? What's happening? And it goes 95%, 96%, and then it stops. And then it's just spinning, and I'm just sitting there waiting. Like, come on, it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. And all of a sudden, it just cuts off. So then I got to go back in and restart it, fast forward all the way to the beginning so just I can be able to see what happened. How many of you know that gets people upset? I don't know about you, but that gets me upset. Some of us, when the Wi-Fi connection isn't that strong, we want to shake somebody. When we're looking at Facebook and we're scrolling through it and the videos ain't loading, sometimes we get upset. We start yelling at people for no reason. Right? We're watching a clip of Michael Jordan getting ready and it's buffering. You know, all of a sudden your wife is now the enemy now, right? Or if your wife is looking at different things, you know, looking at Instagram, whatever, and is stuck, you know, all of a sudden you become the enemy, right? Some of us, what type of network are you working on? How about on your cell phone? You have a what, a 1G? How many got a 1G on your cell phone? A 1G? 2G? Some of you are looking at me like, I got 4G, hotspot. That's what I'm working with, right? That's what we're working with in the natural. But my question tonight is, what are we working with in the spiritual? What's our connection with God? If we were to rate our connection with God, what type of network are we working on? Are we working on a 1G with God? Or are we working on a 4G with God? See, a smartphone with no Wi-Fi is a tool that is not being used at its full potential. And a Christian that's working on a 1G with God is a Christian that doesn't have no power. A Christian that has a weak signal with God, a weak connection with God, is somebody who is not working at his full potential. Some of us are walking it out every day, but we're living in the 1G area, and we're not seeing the results that we want to see in our lives, and we're wondering why. We start moving forward, and all of a sudden, in our Christian walk, we start buffering in the spiritual. Because we're not connected fully to God where God wants us to be. Some of us, you know, when we're not connected to God, we limit ourselves. But tonight, I've not come tonight to talk us down or to tear us down, but I've come to encourage. I've come to build us up. I've come to let you know that God wants you to no longer to operate at a 1G, but God now wants you to operate at a 4G. God wants you to begin to strengthen your connection with Him so He can begin to move in your life, so He can begin to move in your marriage, so He can begin to move at your school, or He can begin to move at your job. We have to get ready to go to a new level. God's saying that I've called you for greater things, but I need you to step out a little deeper. Sometimes we get in the pool and we're walking on the one feet or the 2 feet and we're cold, right? But if you were just to go to the 8 feet, the water is going to get you warm eventually. Some of us need to take that step out, take that step forward, because God's getting ready to do something great. God's getting ready to start to do some more things within the church. God's going to begin to start raising you up. God's going to begin to start taking you to new places. God's going to start giving you promotions at your job. God's going to start moving things for you that you've never thought before. But you have to put yourself in the position so God can do those things. God's looking for some people who say, I don't want to live comfortably no more, but I want to get out of my comfort zone, and I want to tap into everything that you have for me. Pastor Eric said, when I came here, I left everything behind to get here. I didn't know why I came here, but I left it all behind, and I got here. And when I got here, I was still trying to figure it out, but I knew one thing, that if I didn't surrender all myself to Him, that He wouldn't be able to pour everything into me. Someone say connection. Someone say connection. Some of us might be saying, well, I don't even know if God even loves me. I don't even know if I even have a connection with God. I don't even know if God even hears my prayers. I don't even know if God will even forgive me of my sins. The reason why I say a 1G instead of a no connection is because we all have a connection to God. One of the greatest lies or the greatest things that the devil tries to pull over our eyes is that we have no connection to Him. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ came down here and died on the cross for our sins. And when the Bible says that when he died, that the curtain was torn. In other words, what that means is back in those days when you wanted to get into the presence or when you wanted to go before God, you had to go through somebody else. But the Bible says that when Christ died, that the curtain was torn. So all that means that you and I have a direct connection to God. That's why I say that you're operating maybe at a 1G tonight. I pray that we start operating at a higher level with God tonight. Because we automatically have a connection because that veil was torn. We now have that connection with God one-on-one. Don't allow the enemy to try to rob us. Don't allow the enemy to try to steal or kill what God has given us. Brian Thompson said this quote, "Falling down is how we grow, but staying down is how we die." Right here in the book, I want to refocus back to the book of Exodus. Right here, Exodus 33, I want to unpack this verse. I want to go over what's taking place right here. We see that the Israelites, that God was upset with them. God said that I could no longer be with you. I don't want to be in your presence no more because of the things that they were doing. And when you begin to read that verse, or when you begin to backtrack a little bit, you begin to see what happened. God took them out of Egypt. God took them across the Red Sea. God brought them to a place where God was pouring out manna. God delivered them from bondage. How many of you can say that God delivered you from some bondage in your life? How many of you can say that God pulled me out of that pit, and God walked me through a Red Sea in my life? It may not have been an ocean, but God may have walked you through a certain type of miracle in your life, and you're here today. The Bible says that God told the Israelites, take all the gold. They took all the gold and they crossed over. That gold was going to be maybe a blessing. That gold was going to be something, whatever God was going to use it for them. But when you read the story, the Bible says that while Moses was away, that the Israelites made the golden calf. They came to a place where they were unsure. They came to a place where they didn't know what was happening. And when they made that golden calf, The Bible says that God said, "I no longer want." He withdrew himself. How many know the Israelites jeopardized their connection with God? The Israelites put their connection with God at jeopardy, at risk. God was so upset. God pulled himself away, and God didn't want nothing to do with the Israelites at that time. Understand this. That God told Moses in that, what we just read, God told Moses, get these people, you and these people, get to the promised land. I'll be waiting for you when you get there, the Bible says, right? But God's all-knowing, God knows everything. And we know that Moses and the Israelites never make it to the promised land. That generation never makes it. So could you imagine if God really did continue to withdraw himself? Moses and those people would have walked the rest of their lives out of the presence of God. But God was merciful. Moses went up to that mountain and prayed it down, and God was able to come back down and to be able to be with them. What are some things that keep us from God? Amen. I have some things I want to share. Three things I want to share. I want to share three helpful tips that will strengthen our connection with God. Right, I was doing some research, talking with the Comcast guys, you know what I mean? What are some three things that we can do with a Wi-Fi connection? Number one, this is the very first thing they say when you feel like your Wi-Fi signal is weak or when the Wi-Fi is down, they say to make sure that you're in range with the router. Right now, Uzziah, calling my son, Uzziah. He ain't gonna come because he can't hear me. Some of us, God is calling us every single day. God's calling you by your name. But we're not in range with him, so we can't hear his voice. Eddie George, one of the NFL's greatest running backs of all time, right? Eddie George. We know who Eddie George is. Some of you older folks might know who Eddie George is. Well, yeah, we're all the same age. Well, in 2000, Eddie George, back in 90, I believe 95, Eddie George came in the league. He was a Heisman Trophy. He won a national title there in college. Well, he got drafted by the Houston Oilers, then became the Tennessee Titans. But while he was in the league, him and Jim Brown were the only two running backs to ever rush for over 10,000 yards in 9 seasons and never miss a snap. This man was a beast, but they say that he scored 79 touchdowns in his career in only 9 seasons. Well, this man, in 2000, he found himself in the Super Bowl game against what we know as the greatest show on turf, the Rams. And as he was in this game, Eddie George was having the game of his life. He was tearing it up. He had over 100 yards in rushing. He had about 35 yards in catching. He had 2 touchdowns. And how many know, if you watched that Super Bowl, the game came down to the last play. I think they were on the 6-yard line or the 7-yard line. And who else to give the ball to than the best running back at that time? They turn around and give it to a big old running back like Eddie George. As he goes barreling through that line, he's breaking tackles. The momentum is going crazy. I remember that like if it was yesterday, because Pastor Steve was so fired up when that happened. He was so, because he's a big time Rams fan. So he wanted the Rams to win. So Eddie George is barreling through this, and all of a sudden he gets stopped inches before the touchdown. Eddie George ends his career, never wins a Super Bowl. Inches away. He was that far out of range for getting that touchdown. Some of us are like that Eddie George. We're right there. We're right in the range where God needs us to be so he can begin to move on our behalf. But we allow certain things to stop us from getting there. Some of us, we're right there. God's going to say, I'm going to put your marriage back together. I just need you to get in range. I'm going to give you your life back. I'm going to give you everything the devil's taken away. But what I need from you is I need for you to get in range. I need you to get in range to make that connection stronger. Some of us, we're not seeing the results that we want to see because we're out of range with the router. We're out of range with God. We're too far back. And we're not able to understand what God was trying to say. 3 things that I believe that keep us out of range with God. 1, sin. Sin separates us from God, point blank. The Bible is black and white. There is no gray area in the Word of God. It's A or it's B. There is no in between. God says go this way, we go this way. Sin keeps us from God. Sin separates us. The Bible says that even some verses say that sin turns the face, right? That God, you know. But we have to just learn to be in his presence. When we're in God's presence, we're holy, right? The Bible says to be holy, for I am holy. How do we be holy? When we're in God's presence. Number 2, disobedience keeps us out of range. When we're not being obedient to God and to where God is telling us what to do, then we knock ourselves out of range with God. Disobedience is easier said than done. It ain't easy to be obedient always. Ask my wife; she would definitely say that I'm far from being that guy. You know what I mean? Because I like to push the buttons. I like to push it all the way. But how many know that God is very strict in this? God wants us to be obedient. The Bible says that. How many go through trials? If you go through trials, put your hands up. Okay, so if you go through trials, the Bible says that God disciplines those he loves. So God loves you. So God's trying to get us back on that track. God's trying to push us back to the way we need to be. That's why we kind of go through things sometimes, because God wants to move us back online. But sometimes we just keep fighting that wall, and we think that wall is going to go down, but that wall never goes down. That wall is just going to stand there. It ain't going to go nowhere. It has no emotion, but we keep hitting it instead of going the other way. But if we had a vehicle and we were on the freeway and we were scraping that freeway wall, we would jump off that wall in a second, right? Because why? Because we value that car, right? We value that vehicle that we're in. If we value our calling and what God has given us, we'll jump off that wall quickly and get back headed on the right path. If we value what God has given us. Amen. Number 3 is our worship. our worship will knock us out of range with God. When we're not worship, that we fall out of range, because in worship there's a lot of things in worship, right? There's being thankful, gratitude, giving, praising, humbleness. Sometimes we can't praise because we're full of pride sometimes, right? And that's even for myself. Because I'm the guy, you know, like, doesn't, you know, I don't want to, you know, do too much. And if, you know, I don't want to do too much. I want to just keep it cool. And then God jammed me up. Because I feel it in my heart to jump. I feel it in me to jump, but I look over, man, they ain't jumping, right? You know what I mean? Nobody else is super excited, but in me, I feel it. I feel I should just jump. I should jump. And I'd be like, man, they're not jumping. Nobody's jumping, man. Worship team is just, they're doing it, but I feel it, man. Like, should I not do it? Should I not do it? But I'm not. All I'm doing is I'm robbing God from what He deserves. And when I rob Him, I rob myself. When I rob God, I rob myself. When you rob God, you rob yourself. Praise, worship. Worship will knock us out of range. The Bible says, there's a story in the Bible when King David, he was there, he was sitting there, and he was sitting there in his kingdom, the Bible says, right? And that the Ark of the Covenant had been gone for 13 years. And out of those 13 years, that was when King David was kind of just falling to the wayside. He was just falling asleep at the wheel, the Bible says, right? The Bible says that he was going through different things. He'd done some crazy stuff. He killed a man and took somebody else's wife. He's going through all these different things. But the Bible says that one day he just jumped up and said, I need to go and I need to get that ark back. And when he went and got that ark, he brought the ark back to the place. And when he brought the ark back, the Bible says that he was dancing and he was shouting and he was dancing like a fool in the street. And everybody was looking at him like, man, well, this guy is crazy. What is it? What's making him do that? But it was the ark. It was the presence of God. Some of us, we need to get back in range so we can get that worship going again. Some of us, at one time, we used to clap and dance off beat and do a bunch of crazy stuff, and all of a sudden, we got to start coming to church, and we lose it. We start getting sophisticated. We start, oh, I can't do that no more. But just think about it. When you used to run around the streets at 3 o'clock at night asking people for a quarter, man, can I get a quarter? Can I get 35 cents? 35 cents? We could do something like that, then we can do something for God. Worship, amen? Number two says this. Move quickly with the time here. Number two is this. It says that when your Wi-Fi is down, they say to make sure that where you have it, the location, position. See, when you do studies on the Wi-Fi connection, most people, about 90% of the people, don't want that router seen by people. They think the router's ugly or it's inconvenient and it doesn't look right. It doesn't go nice with the couches and the furniture. It's in the way. So most people hide the router or they tuck it behind something. But when you put that router in the wrong position, you knock the range out. You limit the range that where how far the Wi-Fi can go. And also when you put that router in a certain spot, in the wrong position, you put it by a wall or you put it in the kitchen, all that metal, it steals away the Wi-Fi so it doesn't go through the whole house. So that's why they say make sure that your router is up and it's out so everybody can see it. My question tonight is where have we positioned God in our lives? Is God number one to you? Is God number one in your life? The Bible is very clear on where God wants to be. When you read the story when the Israelites are there in the desert, God builds the temple where? He doesn't build it on the left. He doesn't build it outside the camp. No, God builds the temple right in the middle. So everybody can see. Everybody can know when that cloud was over that God was there. He positioned himself to be number one. The number one commandment says, what? Thou shalt not be no other God before me, right? God wants to be number one in your life. But where have we placed God at? Where is God in our hearts? Where is God in our life? Where is God in our finances? Where is God in our marriage? Where is God with our children? Where is God when we're at work? We don't have a strong connection with God because God's not number one. And right here, this position is, in this area right here, a lot of Christians who've been saved for a while, they tend to slack off in this area. Because after a while, coming to church, and we get a job now, we have a wife, we have a husband now, we have kids now, God begins to slowly fade out of number one. But though we come to church, and though we read our Bible, and though we may come up here and occasionally say something or do something, pass a flyer out, we think that God's number one, but he really isn't number one. Because when your job calls, hey, you need overtime Sunday morning, I'm there. You know, I gotta do it. And I speak it to myself because there was a season where that's where I was at in my life. I was in the church and I felt that I felt stuck. I felt that I wasn't really moving, progressing right in the church. And I felt like, oh man, well, maybe I should just focus on more on my career. And I still go to church. I still go to Bible study. I'm still involved. I'm still right there by pastor when he needs me. But I'm stuck. So when my job started calling me up randomly, hey, James, you want to come in? Come on in. I was taking every opportunity that I had. Pastor would be like, what are you doing? I'm like, Pastor, well, who going to feed my kids, you know? That's what, you know, who's going to support? That was what I would say, right? I would use logic. I would use what made sense. But I was knocking myself out of range with God because though I was at work, though I was getting this big old paycheck, I felt empty inside. I felt a void inside. I felt that, man, when I would go to prayer, that God wouldn't even hear me. And that's one of the most saddest things that I've ever faced in my life. When I would go to prayer day after day, or ask God, hey God, I feel like God doesn't even hear my prayers. I'm like, man, does he even hear me? Because I used to listen to a lot of worship music when I prayed. And I got to a stage in my life where I'd no longer listen to worship music no more because I didn't want, not that it's bad if you do this now, it's not bad. I'm just, for me, I wanted to be able, because a lot of times we pray and we talk to God. But prayer is a two-way street. There's moments where we have to just sit there and listen to God. Sometimes we do think that, God, I need this. God, be with me. God, be with that kid over there. God, be with this. And okay, amen, I'm done. But prayer is two ways. And we have to just sit there and meditate and just listen. And that's where I was at. So I would just be in dead silent and just listen. But I would hear nothing. And I would pray, and I would pray, and I don't cry very much. I'm not much of a crier. My wife would tell you I'm not very what's the word? Most emotional. Yeah, I'm not. So I would get upset at myself. I'm like, man, how come I don't cry in prayer? You know, why are tears coming out? You know, my sister calls me up. You know, she ain't saved. I mean, she's saved. She says she's saved, but I'm just joking. But she called me up, and she'd be like, man, she called me up crying and stuff, right? And she'd be like, she called me up crying. She's listening to me right now. Georgina, I love you. I'm just joking. She calls me up crying on the phone, crying. God spoke to me. God showed me this dream. And I'm like, what? What? You know, because, you know, I know where she's at. You know, she talks to me all the time, and I give her advice and stuff. And I feel I'm doing everything right, but still, God still, I feel like God wouldn't hear me. But I was knocking myself out of range. Doing other things, putting other things before God. Samson was a man that suffered this right here. Samson was a man that was chosen by God. Samson was a man that took a vow, separated himself, the Bible says, right? And that when he would go to war, that he was able to kill thousands of people at one time. When he would go to war, that the presence of God would be with him, and he would be able to conquer over enemy after enemy after enemy. He was in range with God. He had positioned himself one-on-one with God. But the Bible says that one day when Samson came out, that he seen a girl. And when he seen this girl, the girl caught his eye. And when the girl caught his eye, the Bible says that he began to talk with this girl, and he began to do whatever he was doing. And the Bible says that eventually he told the girl what the secret was. And he said, it's in my hair. I had this anointing, this covenant with God. And one day when he was sleeping, she cut the hair off. You read the story, cuts the hair off, and then when he goes outside to fight, when he goes outside to go to battle, he gets conquered by the enemy. And when you read the story, the Bible says that he was chained by the neck, and that a little kid would guide him, was walking him around. A man that had great power, a man that was known to do great things. But he lost position with God. He turned it over to something else. Some of us, we can't lose position with God. Amen? Can't put up the walls and all that other stuff. And my last point is this, is reconnecting. Reconnecting. They say that when the Wi-Fi signal is down or when it's weak, they say to sign out, turn it off, turn it back on, and sign back in. Reconnecting. There's a story of this young man, and his grandpa had died, and he had inherited this house, big land, and you know, good sized house. And the kid goes, and he's about 20 years old. He goes over there, checks it out. He walks inside, and you know, looks nice, but you know, he's got his own things going on, right? And he goes, I'm just gonna sell this thing. I'm just gonna sell it. And he puts it up on the market. And doesn't get a call. And he's waiting, and he doesn't get a call. And about a couple of months later, he gets a call from a guy. Oh, I see that you have that house on the market. He goes, yeah, I got it going for, you know, $240,000, but I'll give it to you right now for $200,000. And the guy says, $200,000? He goes, you got it. And then the guy said, well, you don't want to come and check it out. You don't want to come and see it before you commit. He goes, no, I live behind you. And but you got to remember that there's like a lot of trees and a lot of different things that are all surrounding the house. And the guy says, okay. He says, okay, fine. He sells the house for $200,000, and the guy gets the house. Well, about a month later, the young man, he has all this money, so he's looking in the paper trying to see what he's going to do with this money, maybe buy another house or maybe use it to something else. But he sees that exact same house that he had just sold. He's seen it sold for double the amount that he had put up. So he goes, what? He goes, there's no way he could have sold that for double the amount, right? So he calls up the guy. He goes, what did you do to that house? What did you do? He goes, I didn't do anything. I just cut down the trees in the back. And there's a little lake back there. And over that lake, you can see the skyline of the city. And how many know that sometimes in life, we have things in our lives that we may need to get rid of. And sometimes we have things in our lives that we're not able to really see the true beauty of everything that God wants to give us because we have some trees in our lives. Right here in the book of Exodus chapter 33, I'm going to head back there real fast. To close out with this right here. The Lord said, tell them you stubborn and rebellious people, if I were to travel with you even for a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and your fine clothes, and I will decide what I would do with you. And from that moment forward, the Israelites no longer wore their jewelry or their fine clothes. As you read on, then Moses goes to God, and God says, I'll be with you. But it took the Israelites to remove the jewelry, to remove some things that they had on for God to be able to really move with them. Some of us, we may have some things in our lives that we're holding on to. We may be holding on to some baggages in our life or maybe some different things that we're holding on to that God wants us to let go. So maybe it may be some emotional things, or it may be a habit, or maybe some thoughts. It may be some friends. It may be certain things that God is telling you to let it go. And when you let it go, that your range, your connection is going to get stronger. It's going to grow more intense. It's going to be more intimate. The Bible says that God draws us near to Him as we draw onto Him. God draws near unto us. And how many know that God wants to come on to us even stronger, but we have to be willing to let go of some things in our lives so God will be able to fill us with His presence 100%. Some of us, we're operating out of 2G, and God's saying, I'm getting ready to operate out of 4G, so I'm getting ready to do something in your life. I'm getting ready to use you to be a pastor. I'm getting ready to use you to be a missionary. I'm getting ready to use you to become your boss at your job. I'm getting ready to use you in the church to be the head usher or to be a children's worker, overseer, or to start new ministries. I believe there's people in here that got ideas, right? We have things that we have visions that God has given us. Pastor Eric, I have some things I want to share with you. Pastor Eric, I have some things that I want to tell you that I think is going to help the church. I have some ways that we can attract new people. But when we begin to cut down those trees, we begin to see those type of beauty things in our lives. God has given you a great calling. God has given you a beautiful life. God has given something before you. But sometimes there's things in our ways that we have to let go. For me, I had to let go of just everything. I let everything go when I came here. I let it all go. And then when I got here, I still have more things to let go that I'm still working on. And even though I've been here for 9 years, I'm still working on some things. As my wife can tell you right now, I'm still working on some things in my life. This message was hard for me to share. And I'm done with my message. And I'm just sharing just briefly on my heart that, you know, when Pastor Eric asked me to come and share, I was excited. I was pumped up, right? And, man, there was a couple of times I was going to call him and say, I'm not coming. I can't do it. Because I was putting together this message. And during this message, all of a sudden, I felt that my range with God, my range or my connection with God got weak out of nowhere. And I was going to prayer, and I'd be like, God, I need you to be with me with this message, God. I want your anointing to flow, God. I want people to understand what I'm saying, God. I want people to fall out in the Spirit, God. I want people to get baptized in the Spirit. I would go to prayer, and I would do these things, but I would hear nothing. And then me and my wife, we were, you know, going back and forth with some things. And then now at my job, there's stress. And then, you know, at church, things are happening at church. And all of a sudden, I'm like, man, this is too much. I'm going to call Pastor Aaron. Once I said yes, everything broke loose. And different things are coming left and right, you know. And I felt that, you know, that, man, I was like, God, man, how can I share this word that I right now feel like, you know, that my connection with you isn't all the way it needs to be? How can I come up here and say something that I myself am still dealing with in my own walk? But how many know that it's a fight for everyday life? Your soul and my soul, it hangs in the balance. Whatever we feed, my friend, listen, whatever we feed more, if we feed the flesh more, then our soul is going to gravitate to the flesh. But if we feed the Spirit more, then our soul is going to gravitate to the Spirit. And as we stand tonight, my message was simply just connect with God. When you and I connect with God, man, all things are able. Everything is possible through Him. Everything is able. You may feel like, man, God, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, or how, God, you're going to turn this around, or how, God, how you're going to open up these doors. But when we're connected to Him, the Bible says that we have favor. And when we're connected to Him, that we're able to produce fruit. When we're connected to Him, that we're a vine that's alive. But when we're no longer connected to Him, we're like a branch withered away that gets swept up and tossed away. My friend, right now is a time where the enemy is trying to come and gather all these sticks and toss them away. He wants to toss away everything that you're calling and your anointing and everything that He's given you. God wants to, the devil wants to just steal it, snatch it up. He wants to snatch it up. Don't allow the enemy to steal your calling. Don't allow the enemy to steal your family's calling. Don't allow your enemy to steal your children's calling. Some of you may stand here, and you may be the only one in your family standing here right now. But stand in faith, and God's going to bring them. God's going to bring your family. God's going to bring your loved ones. God's going to bring your friends. Pastor Eric has always told me that. When I came into church, my parents, they fell away after 5 years. They were the mentoring directors, and they, you know, they wanted to be pastors, and they fell away. And I found myself back in church when I was 17 all by myself. And I found myself giving my life to God, and I've been sticking it out. I'm 30 years old now, and I'm still sticking it out. And my sister, she's now coming around. And my mom, she's there. She's there, but I'm praying that God's going to use her life. But all I can do is stand in good faith now that one day that through my faithfulness, God will see that and God will reach out and pull in my loved ones. And some of you, you're standing in faith for your family. You're standing in faith for your mom or for your dad or for your brother. Some of us are standing in faith for this city. Some of you are standing in faith for this city. I don't know. I know I am. I know I stand in faith for the Northwest. I stand in faith, you know, for Tacoma, for Seattle, for everything. I just want to be a part. And I know that you guys got a great, great pastor. You guys have a great pastor's wife. These two are great. Pastor Eric is going to, you guys got the best. He's a super anointed person. I know that. And I don't say that because, you know, I know. I say that because it's the truth. And it's only a matter of time when you guys are going to grow and expand, and you guys are going to not be able to fit in here no more. But jump on now. Find your place now. Because what's going to happen is time's going to go by, and the church is going to begin to fill, and all of a sudden there's going to be about 300 people in here, and you're going to be seeing people that you've never even seen before preaching and being the head usher or doing these things, and you're going to be like, well, why didn't God didn't use me? Why this guy, not me? But God's giving you that chance now. God's giving you that opportunity now. And at this time, if you could just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank you, my God. Father, I thank you, my God, for everything that you're doing, Lord.